for a long, long time. Good show coming up for you. As you're pointing at this, pointing at that. I go, okay, board's live. We're going over the air. What are you pointing at?
After 12 years, you should know.
Headphones.
Right?
Headphones. You needed your headphones.
Like I'm co-piloting, and this has happened. My wife in the vehicle, she's driving. Which way should I turn? And I point right and don't say anything.
Oh, now let's not get
That's
started.
That's not good.
Let's not get started with that.
I've been reminded you need to verbalize that.
Yeah, I've said that too.
So I shall in the future.
I figured it out, though. After a couple seconds, I figured it out, what we were doing. This is fascinating radio to everyone out there. We welcome you into the gym class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. And we welcome you in on a busy Thursday. Lots of things to talk about. Dave Koken will join us, and we'll talk some college hoops with Kevin Lehman, who sent us a great picture.
He did.
Earlier on today. We are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. And they remind you it's a good day when you celebrate happy hour at Third Base. Third Base Brewery has draft beer as well as domestics are on special during happy hour Monday through Friday. Pair your brew with one of the delicious appetizers like bacon cheese fries or pretzel bites with beer cheese, one of the many delicious choices at Third Base Brewery, locally owned and operated at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. They are the presenting sponsor of the gym class program each and every day right here on KGYM. Iowa, North Florida coming up. It's an early tip-off tonight. That will be at 6 o'clock, and that will be coming your way from Carver Hawkeye Arena tonight. Big Ten Network will have the television on that one coming up this evening. We've got high school playoff championship football going on at the Uni Dome as we speak. Plus, we've got it coming your way tonight right here on KGYM. 6:45 pregame on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. As it will be the 3A state championship game. Miles Klotz and Gary Fickle will have the call, as it will be the Solon Spartans taking on the Bobcats of Western Dubuque coming up tonight. And again, we'll have that for you at 6:45, about 7:08 with the kickoff tonight from the Uni Dome.
Should be a good one, and both teams have had a terrific season, and Western Dubuque has just been very, very good, but it's the Solon team that is very capable.
Yes, it is, and a Solon team. Both these teams have been there before in their, of course, Western Dubuque last year, falling to Xavier in the 3A state championship game. These two teams met last year, as a matter of fact, in the very first round of the playoffs, and it was unbeaten Solon taking on twice beaten Western Dubuque, and Western Dubuque went down to Spartan Stadium and beat the Spartans on their way to the state championship game. So we'll see. There's a little payback tonight for Solon, but two good teams going at it. A lot of good talent on the football field. And we'll have it for you tonight on the FMs beginning at 6:45.
One game in the books right now and one game in progress. Your eight-man champion is Gilbertville Don Bosco.
Fourth time.
Knocking off the number one seeded Audubon team, 35-19.
That'd be the Audubon Wheelers.
The Audubon Wheelers.
Correct. And the Dons of Don Bosco. Fourth championship for Don Bosco. Congratulations to them. The Class A championship game is ongoing, and they are just into the middle stages of the third quarter, and just updated. West Hancock has taken it in for a touchdown. They lead Grundy Center 20-10, pending the extra point. That is up in the Uni Dome. 1A, 2A, and 4A come up tomorrow from Cedar Falls. And then the football season is officially in the books.
How about that?
And it went quickly. It went quickly in 2019, and then we got basketball coming your way next week.
Well, now we wait, and I'm not sure, maybe you know the timing of it better, but the districts will change next year.
Yes, they will. The two-year cycle.
What will happen?
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
We asked Chris Cuellar of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, former media member of the Des Moines Register, mm-hmm. Now the communications director, asked him last week when he thought the timetable would be, and he said there are a lot of moving parts at this point. There's mm-hmm. going to be one more meeting of the classification committee, so they will get finalized if it's going to stay 4A through A and 8 player. That could change. Is it going to change due to socioeconomics? That plan was put out there. Are districts going to expand? That is out on the table. The Iowa Football Coaches Association reportedly has made a plea to the Iowa High School Athletic Association to expand the playoffs from 16 teams to 32 or 24.
24 in 4A and 32 in the other classes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Is that going to go through? And so that's got to be taken care of. And then you got to sit down and structure the districts based on the enrollments for the next year. So there are a lot of moving parts. He's thinking maybe end of January into February, because you have to have some time then to, after the districts have been put out there, you have to have time to come up with your non-district opponents that you would like to see. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to play them. It means that you can, school A can call school B and say, hey, you want to play? Home and home?
Next. Well, the Metro rivalries, as you know, will be preserved.
Jeff Kennedy, Jeff Wash, they will play no matter if they're a district opponent or a non-district opponent. They've come to that agreement. So we'll see. A lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
As far as football is concerned, and we'll know by probably around the end of the state basketball tournament in March when we think football. Never-ending cycle out there. 10 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. Hurtina Stocker Jeweler text line available to you out there at 319-366-1600. By the way, the extra point was good. It's 21-10 as West Hancock with the lead. Again, 319-366-1600. That's a Hurtina Stocker Jeweler text line. Hurtina Stocker Jeweler is located on the Penn Mall in downtown Iowa City. Iowa City's most trusted jeweler.
They are playing golf on the PGA Tour, Scott. The RSM Classic at Sea Island, Georgia. A home meet for such players as Zach Johnson, Davis Love III, and others. A lot of those players reside in that area. First round in the books for Zach Johnson. He birdied his final three holes today and shot a 3-under par 67. And I'm sorry, 69, 3-under par 69. And he's right now at 30th in the field. 7-under leads it. That'd be your favorite, Webb Simpson.
It's a good player. Webb's a good player, man. Yeah. Mark that down in the back of your mind.
Okay.
By the way.
All right.
I thought you were going to say Brendan Todd again.
No.
He's won the last two in the fall season. That's not really in the fall anymore. It's in the winter season. I think this is the last of the tournaments. And then they go into a hiatus until the January, the Tournament of Champions down at Kapalua.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is the case. But yeah, this is a decent field, though. A lot of the top guys, President's Cup guys, aren't playing, though. But and by the way, the news coming out yesterday, I believe, Brooks Koepka is going to miss the President's Cup with an injury. So what's Tiger going to do?
I think he named Ricky Fowler.
Oh, did he name Ricky?
To replace.
Okay, very good.
To replace Koepka.
So maybe he knew that the whole time, and that's why Ricky wasn't chosen to be on the team.
Yeah.
So we'll see. 312.
Not happy, by the way.
Kevin Na's never happy. We will talk to Dave Koken coming up here in just a little bit from Las Vegas and talk about college football, a little bit of college basketball as well. Speaking of college basketball, we mentioned Iowa and North Florida coming up tonight, and that is a 6 o'clock tip-off from Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Do not be complacent over the term North Florida. This is the team that is picked by most of the preseason magazines and preseason experts to win the Atlantic Sun. That is the same conference as Dunk City, Florida Gulf Coast, who, by the way, does not have a football team. Contrary to letters that were sent out by Florida Gulf Coast, they do not have a varsity football team. They have a club football team And that's a whole thing.
Probably pretty good.
Probably pretty good, yes, but they were sending out letters to people claiming that they were looking into their services for their football program. And some people went on Twitter, some athletes, high school athletes, saying, I got an offer from Florida Gulf Coast. And people said, Florida Gulf Coast does not have a football team. So there you go. They're undefeated. I believe they played DePaul and Okoboji in their two non-conference games. The Okoboji team, they make a joke up there. I haven't been up there in a few years in Northwest Iowa, but the big joke up there is that their football team hasn't lost since, you know, in 80-some years and things like that. But, boy, we're off and running. We're off and running today, aren't we?
It's perhaps a Bowling Night in America hangover. I don't know.
Could be. Could be. Do have to put this news out. We had our first big baseball signing today. The Chicago White Sox pulling the trigger on Yasmani Grandal and signing the all-star catcher to a contract, but $73 million contract, mm-hmm. I believe. He will be the catcher for the White Sox coming up in 2020 and beyond. So I'm an excited White Sox fan.
Grandal, 31. 4-year deal, $73 million. I think it's a good signing.
I think it's a good signing. Yeah. McCann can be the DH. Collins can be in there, DH sometimes as well. And the White Sox lineup is pretty darn good at this point.
Grandal was with the Brewers.
Milwaukee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, Brewers, new uniforms, if you saw those, very attractive.
Mm. Didn't see those.
Padres and the Brewers came out and released their uniforms for 2020. Padres going back to the brown look, by the way.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. I've always been a big fan of the Padre brown and gold. They're going to go back to it. Brewers, some nice-looking uniforms as well. A little bit of an homage to the Harvey's Wallbangers, I believe, in an alternate uniform with the baby blue out there. Look it up. They're very nice. But, yeah, I'm ready for baseball now that Yasmani Grandal and Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez and everybody. Yoan Moncada, Tim Anderson, Madrigal.
It's going to be a good team.
It's going to be
should be a good team.
They're in the bidding for Zach Wheeler as well, yeah. The Mets pitcher. I'm ready to go as far as baseball is concerned. 319-366-1600. There's a little bit of time yet. I have to cool my heels a little bit. I have to cool them off a little bit here. But the American League Central is going to be a little bit more interesting, I think, next year.
I think it will be. I don't know what to expect out of Cleveland. I like the Twins' chances. To continue success.
Now, the Royals and the Tigers are still a ways.
Yeah, I think so. Royals got some position players.
Right. Tigers are in complete rebuild.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens here in the offseason. Could tilt things one way or another.
Could tilt things. Twins aren't going anywhere. We know that. I don't think the Indians are going too far as well. And the White Sox are on their way up.
Mm.
So
you said 2020.
I said 2020. Yep. Got to start to make a little bit of a stride.
The pitcher they're going to get back to out of off injury. Who am I thinking of?
Kopech?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be back coming up in 2020 as well. All right, we're going to take a break, come back 3:17, and we're going to talk to Dave Koken from Las Vegas. SmokingKoken.com, plenty to talk about with Dave, and we'll do it when we come back. You're listening to The Gym Class for a Thursday here on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Growing up on a farm, the youngest of 9 kids, Chris had to prove himself, and he did, in the fields and on the court. As a Regina and Simpson College basketball player, he got the nickname Shooter, and it stuck. People still call him Shooter, even now that he's a Coldwell Banker real estate professional. His work ethic, skill, resourcefulness, and 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction in the Iowa City area have made Chris Lehman the perfect realtor to buy or sell your home with. Get in touch at shootershomes.com.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in. Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
The first thing your guests see is the outside of your home, so make sure it's ready to greet them for the holidays. A new front door from Therma-True will make a statement and create a stunning entrance. In fact, with a new Therma-True front door from Alexander Lumber, you'll spruce up your curb appeal and give your guests a warm welcome before they even reach the doorbell. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You work hard, and you deserve to get the most for your money, like health insurance coverage with the largest, most accessible networks, so you can choose where you want to go for care. Like having multiple plans so you can choose the coverage that works best for you. Mostly, you deserve to have the health insurance expertise Iowans have been trusting for over 80 years. Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. To find the small business or individual plan that's right for you, talk to your local agent about Wellmark today. Get started at wellmark.com.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
When class isn't in session, take part in weekend extracurricular activities on Smart FM. Glenn Gardner takes you on a journey to concerts all over the world on Live from the Soundboard. Chris Jackson's got alternative rock on Where It's At. And of course, hit the lunchroom for the Beatles Buffet Sunday mornings. Weekends are better with extracurricular activities on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Back with you on the gym class here on KGYM for this Thursday. Scott and Mark with you. And Dave Koken set to join us from Las Vegas. SmokingKoken.com is the website. And at Dave Koken, that is his Twitter handle. And Dave, good afternoon. How you doing?
Just fine. How are you guys?
Doing all right. Better than people that had Georgia in basketball last night.
Oh, my. That was, those mid-court three-pointers, those are killers. You know what's worse? And I wasn't involved in the game. But if you had, I believe it was Siena last night against Yale, and they're plus five, I think it was, triple overtime, lose by 11. Those are the worst.
Oh, God.
When you've got the dog in overtime, nothing good can happen.
So that's worse than the buzzer-beating heave.
They're both bad. They're both bad.
Well, they're both bad, but, you know, it only lasts a second when it's a three-pointer like that, or like a Hail Mary in college football. But the game's, it's bad enough if you've got a dog in one overtime. But now it's one overtime, then two overtimes, then finally three overtimes to get blown out. Those are the worst because you've won the bet three times already.
True.
Yeah, it's a slow burn, pretty much.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, Iowa coming off a kind of an emotional victory over Minnesota, and Illinois had the week off last week. The Hawks about a two-touchdown or more favorite. It seems like a lot. What do you think?
I think it probably is a lot. I mean, it's not that Illinois is that good a football team, but they've got tremendous momentum. They're really believing in themselves in, let's call it straight. It's just not as big a game for Iowa to me. That was a huge game for them last week against Minnesota. They accomplished their objective there. And now it's kind of like, let's see where you end up in the bowl at this point. But Illinois is also in a situation where they could relax a little bit because now they're going to make a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite an accomplishment for them.
This is a very intriguing week as far as college football is concerned because you've got a precious few really big-time marquee games. This is the annual SEC homecoming week where such fine teams as, Samford, Western Carolina, and everybody else is paraded down south this week.
it's a bye week for a lot of SEC teams, only they're playing again.
Yeah, Samford is at Auburn. Western Carolina is at Alabama, among those, as they get ready for their big games and the big rivalries coming up next week.
Dave, I suppose you might be interested in see what Mac Jones does, because that will be that will be play into your future evaluations.
And I think the committee's probably going to look at it too, because Alabama's going to, you know, look, if Alabama loses again, they're out. But if Alabama wins out, if they beat Auburn, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with that fourth spot, assuming the three teams that are up front stay there. And I think that Mac, well, obviously, if they beat Auburn and Mac Jones looks good in the process, I got a feeling Alabama's still going to get that fourth spot, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Unless
yeah.
Georgia beats LSU.
Well, yeah. I mean, Georgia, if Georgia wins out, then it's all a moot point. Because, I think if Georgia wins out, they get the fourth spot. But if they don't, and Alabama loses, then it gets really interesting, because the Pac-12 title game between Utah and Oregon could very well be the fourth spot. I think the committee... And look, I'm not trying to read their minds. Well, I guess I am. But I think the committee would like to get a Pac-12 team in, just because the Pac-12 generally doesn't get in. And, it's better for the game overall, I think, if you get a Pac-12 team in. So we'll see what happens with Utah and Oregon this weekend. It's very important for those two teams not only to win, but to look good in the process.
Dave, you evaluate all kinds of teams, including these teams. Do you think the committee has it right up to this point?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think it's easy. It's easy right now. I mean, your first three are clear, and I think Georgia has to be in the fourth spot right now. So it's easy to this point. Where it gets confusing is if Georgia loses a football game. Then you've got a real logjam potentially, and it could be very difficult to separate one from the other.
It could be the Pac-12 or the Big 12, or if not both, are out by the end of the day.
I don't think the Big 12's got much of a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
I don't think the Big 12 team's going to make it.
No, I would agree.
Oklahoma, they're just not a top five team this year. I mean, they just aren't. Their defense is not good. And they're not measurably better than several other teams in the conference. And none of them are top five teams. So, you know, I think it's more difficult. If Minnesota were to win out, and that would include upsetting Ohio State, that would really confuse the issue. Minnesota's not supposed to be in that group, but if they happen to win out and win the Big 12 title game, then you almost have to put them in.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. Speaking of the Buckeyes, Penn State have any chance at all? That's a big number, 18.5 right now against Ohio State.
Sorry. It's a gigantic number. And I don't think Penn State's going to fear them, because they've given Ohio State some good games in the past. But Ohio State just looks so much better than the rest of the conference and basically than the rest of the country outside of maybe LSU. I can't, this is normally a game where it's like, okay, you're giving me almost three touchdowns with a really quality Penn State team. Okay, I'm in. But I can't do it. There's every chance they get blown off the field here. Ohio State is playing at an otherworldly level. They're the best team in the country on paper right now in terms of what they've accomplished. Now, I think LSU can beat them, but in terms of what's been done to this point, you can't argue against Ohio State being number one.
I love Indiana getting almost double digits at home against Michigan. I love this.
I agree. Agree. Indiana has no fear. This is the best Indiana team we've seen in a lot of years. They play with a lot of confidence. I don't think they're going to be disappointed off the Penn State loss last week. And I think Indiana's taking the field thinking they can win this game. And I do think it's a one-possession game. So at more than a touchdown, I think you got to go with the Hoosiers.
Dave, is there a game on the board that Saturday you really like and would like to share with us and our listeners?
It's a spot play, and I don't like this team, but I like this spot, and it's the Syracuse-Louisville game. I don't like Syracuse. Syracuse is a lousy team. The quarterback is not good. They're not real good defensively, but they are off their best game of the year. They're 4-6, and if they win out, they will get a bowl. The 6-6-win team of a big conference gets a bowl. And this could be a very difficult spot for Louisville. They accomplished their objective last week, which was getting bowl eligible, and that's a remarkable achievement for a team that was as bad as they were a year ago. And they've got Kentucky next week, which is simply a bigger game. That's a rivalry game. This isn't. I think as great a job as Satterfield done with the Cardinals, I think this is a tough spot for them to be laying 10 points. And I would take Syracuse plus the 10 here.
Hmm. There you go. Dave,
take it.
Dave joining us from Las Vegas at 329 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. I have to ask you about this, A, because it's hockey, and B, because it's Las Vegas. The Golden Knights have an ice skating dog.
Yeah. They have the Marc-Andre Fleury. It is like an unofficial team mascot. Now they've got a skating dog. And they're a pretty good hockey team, too.
I need to see the dog. That's on my bucket list now, to see the dog.
He has I think it's back skates.
So he's on his hind.
He doesn't have four skates. He only has two.
Okay.
It might be double runners. I'm not sure. But you know, it's Las Vegas. Something unusual. We'll have it.
Something that Toronto doesn't have anymore is Mike Babcock. he is gone.
You know, all right, so how long do I have here?
You got a minute or two.
So here's the Maple Leafs were cooked from day one this year, and I blame it on Babcock. On opening night, Jason Spezza, who's been around the league a long time, he's been like 15-year veteran, and he took a hometown discount to play for the Maple Leafs. He could have gotten more money elsewhere. He's not a great player anymore, but you know, he's still useful. And he was a healthy scratch on opening night. And when I saw that, it's like, you want to lose the locker room in a hurry. You healthy scratch a 15-year veteran on opening night. And it's been all downhill from there. But it's not all Babcock. The team's made some strange moves. They bring in Tyson Benson. And then they put him on the second power play unit. So he's got like 5 assists in 22 games. And Barry's a free agent at the end of the year. And this is going to cost him millions of dollars because he's not producing at all. That's another veteran guy. And to me, these are things that are poison in the locker room. So I think the coach had to go. And also Babcock's kind of an old school guy. And it's the same in all the sports now. The old school guys just don't work out anymore because you're dealing with a different generation of players, and they don't seem to respond well to that kind of coaching or managing. And that's just the way it is. You can say, well, they're software. It doesn't matter what you think. It's just the way it is, and you have to accept it. So I don't think it's a bad firing. I think it was necessary. And I would look for the Leafs to possibly get hot over the next couple of weeks.
Well, a couple marquee games, at least in my mind, Dave, on Sunday in the NFL. You've got Dallas at New England and Green Bay at San Francisco. I don't know that I touch either one of these games. How about you?
Well, you don't go against New England, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't do it. And so that's the end of that. You either take New England or pass. I don't know what to do with the other game because I think the Packers are good, but not real good. I still got them like 7th in my power ratings. But, you know, boy, it's Aaron Rodgers on a big stage, and he's really good in these games. And Jimmy G's been a little bit inconsistent, and I know the 49ers are playing quite the same level they were earlier. So I kind of lean to the Packers. But bear in mind, I'm not very good in the NFL. It's my worst sport.
Mm.
So if I like Green Bay, you might want to consider seeing
Hey, how about this Weissman thing as far as Memphis is concerned? This is crazy.
Stupid. It's so stupid. First of all, how's he supposed to pay him any a fine?
Exactly.
Money.
Exactly.
He's going to have money next year when he signs an NBA contract, but this is not a family that has money. So I don't know how they expect him to pay a fine unless he gets the money from somebody.
Which was the basis of the whole thing in the first place.
It's just crazy. It's stupid. This wasn't a situation where he was doing anything particularly wrong. I mean, I don't see the harm in the family, getting some help to move to that area where their son can go to school, and if they have other kids, they can go to school. What's so wrong with it? It wasn't deriding some kind. It's not like somebody bought him a Mercedes. Okay, if that happens, then, okay, now you got an issue. But this wasn't done for enrichment purposes. And to me, the idea of keeping a family together is more important than whatever little violation occurred. It's just another bad move by an organization that's been completely out of touch with reality for a couple of generations.
To underscore Dave's point, James Wiseman from Memphis, out till January 12th, will miss 12 games, and conditions upon his return, he has to pay $11,500 to a charity before he can regain his eligibility. Give him a loan, Dave.
Well, no, there's actually, and I don't know if it's legitimate or not in terms of whether it's allowed, but somebody started a GoFundMe for him.
Yeah.
Good. I hope, because the family doesn't have the money.
No.
So, you know, it's just a stupid ruling. And the NCAA does this to save face because they never should have declared him ineligible in the first place.
Yeah. Speaking of the NCAA basketball, before we let you go here, the Thanksgiving tournaments are getting underway. You get some real good matchups, but maybe in the third day of a three-game tournament, is that easier as far as putting your money on, or harder?
Well, you got to look at the minutes played in the first two games. If it's a three-game and three-night situation, you know, teams do wear out. But who was playing? I forget who it was. Somebody was playing Grand Valley. I think it was last night. And it was their fifth game in 6 days. And they got outscored like 26-2 at the end of the game. They ran out of gas. So that's what you look for at the end of these tournaments, is the teams with little depth, there's a good chance they'll wear out.
Mm. Yeah, you got to look at that as far as the basketball is concerned. Iowa and North Florida going at it tonight down in Iowa City. North Florida is a good basketball team, too. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out right there. Hey, Dave, we'll talk in a couple weeks with Thanksgiving next week. But have a great Thanksgiving to you and yours, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Same to you and all the fine folks in Cedar Rapids. Have a great holiday, and we'll do it in December.
Thanks, right. Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Koken joining us from Las Vegas, where you can go see a skating dog in intermission time of the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
He's not cheap, but he's pretty good.
Yeah, not the dog, Dave.
Dave.
We'll take a break.
Well, I don't know, it might be the dog, too.
You never know. You never know. We'll take a break and come back. Kevin Lehman will join us with our weekly segment, Off the Glass, when we come back.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh,
thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Little Caesar's thin crust pizza is so loaded with cheese and pepperoni you can't even see the crust. And if you ever want to see it again, listen very carefully. Bring $6.49 in unmarked bills or marked bills or coins or just a credit or debit card to Little Caesar's. Come alone and bring your friends or family. Bring everyone. Get a Little Caesar's large thin crust pizza with extra cheese and the most pepperoni, all at the nation's best price of just $6.49.
Pizza, pizza.
Top four national pizza chains. Extra most bestest thin crust pepperoni pizza versus large round one topping thin crust pepperoni pizza. Everyday standard menu prices at participating locations plus tax.
'Twas the holiday season, and in your garage, a brand new John Deere. That's not a mirage. With neighbors admiring your shiny new ride, it's your year for a Deere to fill you with pride. So if additional offers are what you desire, see our low rates before they expire. Now start up your engines and drive out of sight. New John Deere equipment for all, and to all a good night. Make it your year for a Deere. See your John Deere dealer today to discover more amazing deals and attractive financing offers.
With my family, there's a lot of us and a lot of gifts to mail. So it's great I can get the shipping boxes I need delivered to me for free.
It's just me and my dog, Bella, but we still have so many holiday cards to send out. Luckily, the USPS online store has tons of options. Right, Bella?
However big your family is, the United States Postal Service goes the extra mile to bring your holidays home. Learn more at usps.com/season. And with informed delivery notifications, get a digital preview of your mail before it arrives. United States Postal Service. Priority you.
Hey, you behind the wheel. While we can't help you with freeway traffic, we can help keep your engine running like new. That's because Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline is engineered to defend against four main engine threats. Gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So, next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline.
How good are PXG clubs? Golf writers describe them as absolutely remarkable and the best golf clubs out there. Our customers call them insanely good and say they live up to the hype. So what are you waiting for? Step up your game and enjoy golf more than ever. Call 844-PLAY-PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, or visit pxg.com to book your custom fitting. PXG. Nobody makes golf clubs the way we do. Period.
Back with you in the gym class for a Thursday here at KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, and 106.3 FM as well. As go from skating dogs, things like that.
That was roller skating music, by the way.
Was it roller skating?
A rejoin, yeah, it could have been.
It could have been some stuff right there. Mm-hmm. So... anyway, Kevin Lehman set to join us right now. And, of course, Off the Glass, our weekly segment, as far as Kevin is concerned, brought to you by Chris Lehman and all the great stuff that Chris does. We'll tell you more about it as we get to the back half of the program here on this Thursday edition of the program, and where you can go and the website to look for right there. And Kevin joins us, and Kevin shocked us all, you and I, this morning with a great text he sent to us.
Shock, that's not even the word for it.
Of Kevin.
I appreciate a photo with Kevin, but...
right, and Kevin and Steve Alford in a picture this morning you sent to us. That's a great way to start your day, isn't it, Kevin?
That was just for Mark. I knew he'd like that.
Well, you be.
I got another idea for you guys. I knew you'd like that, Mark. Huh. I got another idea for you guys. You know, you have Bowling Night in America.
Yeah.
Okay, we found a spot down here called Chicken and Bowling.
Ah.
So it's like Buffalo Wild Wings. It's like a Buffalo Wild Wings with five bowling alleys in it.
Wow.
So I'm giving you guys the first chance to franchise that in the Irish cafeteria.
You go ahead and put down the down payment, Kevin. We'll be along shortly. How's Nevada going to be this year with Alford?
Really young, Mark. Really young. He's actually got one player that played on last year's team. He was sixth man of the year in the Mountain West. Another kid who sat out as a transfer. And everyone else is new. They're trying to figure out each other's names right now.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. And it showed. They lost at home to start the season, and but a chance to get better and better. It's a good program they have in Reno. One of the better mid. I hate using mid majors. I hate using that term.
Well, especially Scott with the Mountain West. When they have, if you ever look up the mid-major rankings, the Mountain West refuses to be part of it because they don't want that to be called a mid-major. So they don't have any of their teams listed in the mid-major top 25. Interesting little concept. But I had a nice visit with Steve Alford. I mean, he loves Reno. You know, he talked about his years at UCLA that, you know, it's typical California. The traffic is a nightmare. It was an hour and a half commute to get to Pauley Pavilion, and he likes where he's at now. And when you look at his record, you know, his 6 years at New Mexico, he won four outright titles and two Mountain West Conference championships at New Mexico. So I think that league is a great fit for Steve Alford.
There you go.
Kevin, North Florida. enters Carver Hawkeye Arena tonight. What potential problems does that outfit, the Ospreys, present for Iowa?
Well, you know, I haven't done much study on the Ospreys, but as we've seen with the Hawks, if there's any speed in the backcourt, that's some issues. And obviously you're going to see against these teams that are a little bit lower level, they're going to pound it into Luka Garza and let him go to work inside, because you got to send a double on Luka if you don't have any size to guard him. I think he's having a tremendous year for the Hawks and will have a tremendous year.
True. This is a team, though, that's picked to win the Atlantic Sun by a lot of people. This could be an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, I have some talent. Like I said, I haven't been able to do much research because I've got eight. I've been through the whirlwind today, guys. I've been here for, you think it's all, you know, sun and surf when you come to Virgin Islands. I've been in this gymnasium for 11 hours straight watching eight teams practice. So right now I'm running on 5-hour energy.
You got to see Cincinnati, too, earlier today.
And Kyle's bringing a violin in here right now. So.
Yeah, I tell you what, you like this one, Mark. You know, it's 85 outside, but this gym is so cold, I actually have a jacket on.
Oh, my.
They crank this thing to about 60 degrees inside, and it is cold. But yeah, Cincinnati was in earlier. You know, the Hawks are going to have them later in the year. And the Hawks, let's look at that schedule. They get, you know, Fran said this is the toughest schedule he's had, and they got that string of six row, and they got Tech and Syracuse, and they open up Big Ten play with Michigan, Minnesota, and then it's Iowa State in that game against Cincinnati. That's a really tough stretch of six games for the Hawkeyes.
It is. Yeah, it is. And tonight will not be a bargain as well. For Iowa State, they another slow start. Didn't shoot the ball again real well from three, but ended up with, you look at it at the end, and it's almost a 30-point victory at home against Southern Miss.
Well, I think you're going to see that Iowa State team kind of be up and down. They may live and die by the three ball. You know, the bench is still suspect. I like what they're seeing in that inside game, but you know, they got so many new faces. This might be a team that takes a while to develop, and they're going to that loaded field in the Battle for Atlantis. There are some teams in there. You know, Gonzaga's in there, Michigan's in there, North Carolina. It is loaded, so they're going to find out what they're made of. But I think, you know, Steve Prohm will have this team ready to defend and hopefully shooting the three ball better once they get ready for Big 12 play.
Take last night's game out of the mix. Cornell College dropping a 20-plus point decision at Northern Iowa. What do you make of the Panthers so far? Trey Burhau went off for 36, I think. And what do you make of this club?
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark. They're an intriguing team this year because of all the experience back. Burhau hits eight threes. And you know, and the record, I think, is Paul Jesperson, and Cam Johnson each have eight threes in a game. But think about this. When Cam Johnson hit those eight threes, that was not last year's three-point line. That was back when it was the same as the high school line.
Yeah.
So what Burhau's doing, that's about an extra 2 feet, isn't it, Scott? I mean, that thing is way out there now.
It is. It is.
So that's quite a feat. And, you know, and Isaiah Brown, he knocked a bunch in against Northern Illinois. They're 6-0, and A.J. Green has not performed as well as he can. So they've got some weapons on the perimeter. Of course, Austin Fife with another double-double in limited minutes. So their pieces are fitting together pretty well, I think. And I think about Burhau, they can play small because at 6'6", he rebounds it so well. But, you know, they're off to Cancun, where they're going to have West Virginia. So that'll be a good measuring stick for the Panthers to see where they're at.
Yeah, West Virginia coming up in the first round. They'll get a good opponent in the second round game, whether they win or lose. Same thing with Iowa State. They will open. They get the early game out at Atlantis against Michigan. That's the 11 o'clock in the morning game that everyone covets. at that point. And,
yes.
Michigan, that is going to be an interesting game because Michigan lost a ton, Iowa State lost a ton, and they're both off to good starts as far as the record is concerned, but we'll see kind of who comes out of that game.
Well, and the other bracket is, I think, Southern Miss and Steve Prohm said, why couldn't we be in their bracket? Because the other seven teams, including Iowa State, are just they're loaded big-name teams in that tournament. And that's what Battle of Atlantis has become. And it's a great time of year, guys, because you get these multiple-team events. You get some matchups you don't normally see. And, you know, there's some fields that are really loaded. And, it's, you know, I talk to these coaches down here, what do you want to get out of this tournament? You've got three games in 4 days. They've kind of all ponder the question for a second, and a lot of them say, you know, we're looking for some team chemistry. A lot of them need to get better defensively, more communication. So it's, you know, we're in mid-November. This is early, and these teams are still developing. So what you're seeing now, although it's going to help your resume when you get some wins, most of these teams are completely different when you get into February and maybe even the league play in January.
Well, they all want to play in these. First of all, it's great for recruiting. That's the first thing. Second of all, no matter if you win or lose, you want to win, obviously. We know that. But no matter if you win or lose, these are all pod ones. So it's not going to hurt you. It's probably going to help you more than if you're at home losing to, you know, Utah Valley State or whatever the case is.
Well, Scott, that's a great point. Because another thing that coaches have said is this type of tournaments where I'm at here in the Paradise Jam helps with recruiting. Because players say, where are you going to go? Because almost every team participates in some sort of tournament like this. Some are stateside. Some are going to tropical island destinations. So recruits want to know, where are you going? Where are you going on your summer tour? Italy, Spain, all these things help in recruiting. And, boy, that's the name of the game. And, you know, I looked this one up the other day. I had St. Louis against Seton Hall on Sunday. And basically St. Louis has a new team. The transfer portal last year, in basketball alone, Division I, there were 1,012 players enter their name in the transfer portal. We are in free agency, guys, in Division I basketball.
Maybe that has something to do with the, $11,000 fine that Joe Weissman got?
Isaiah Moss, one of those guys that came out of the portal, had a nice game for Kansas, battling that hamstring injury.
Yeah, how did he do, Mark? I haven't been able to.
He had 21.
21.
Yeah.
I tell you what, when I was down there for that practice and he was hurt with the hamstring and didn't participate, Bill Self was raving about him because, you know, Kansas is always a little short on the ability to knock in the three ball. He really liked what Isaiah was going to bring to that team. So, you know, good for Isaiah. You know, this is the era, guys, where we are empowering the student athlete. They're getting the ability to transfer, and we've got that name, image, and likeness going on. And how about that Weissman case at Memphis? That's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. We've got lawsuits. We've got court injunctions. We've got lawsuits withdrawn. We've got a kid eligible, ineligible. It's a circus at Memphis.
Well, we just talked to Dave Koken, our guy in Las Vegas, and he was confounded by the whole thing because now Weissman has to donate $11,500 to a charity before he can regain his eligibility. I mean, he's going to have to go to a guy like you for a loan.
Well, that would make him ineligible again, I believe. He gets another loan. But, you know, what's funny about that is I'm sure this young man, when he left Nashville to move to Memphis to play for Penny Hardaway at the high school, he never had any idea this money's being exchanged. It was between, in my estimation, Penny and his mother, because I evidently had a sister going to school at Memphis, and that was the reason to get closer to the sister who was. You think James Weissman, as a 15 or 16 year old, had any idea that there's over $11,000 being exchanged hands? And that's what's unfortunate. He's getting punished for the decisions that adults made for him.
Well, Penny was more than a year away from becoming the head coach at Memphis, too.
Yeah, he was the head coach at Memphis East, where Weissman mysteriously transferred from Nashville and ended up playing for Penny there. So it's, guys, college basketball is going to change. We're on the era of a whole new type of basketball, whether it's open transfers, pay for your name, likeness, image. I don't think we've seen a transformation for quite some time like we're going to see here in the next couple of years.
What's a can of pop or a bottle of beer go for down there in the Virgin Islands?
Well, Mark, you know I wouldn't know what a bottle of beer costs down there. Only because I'm buying it by the six-pack.
Okay.
But I tell you what, I am staying at Margaritaville, so I am tasting a little bit of that Landshark, which is Jimmy Buffett's own beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Although I think I see it's made in St. Louis, not here in the islands.
Whatever, geography. It was never Jimmy's strong suit.
Yeah. I say this island, it's really interesting because it's very hilly. You've got to be kind of like when you're driving cars, like a mountain goat, because you're going down hills. You're on the side of hills where you look over the edge and see the water. But here's the biggest thing. You're driving on the left side of the road. So in the States, you're used to looking when you come out of a driveway left. But here you got to look right because that lane's coming from the right that's in the lane you're turning into. And that's the hardest thing to get used to is when you come out of parking lots to make sure you train yourself to look the opposite direction of what you're used to doing.
That would be...
You don't want to have a couple land sharks in you at that point.
Confounding right there. Hey, before we let you go, real quick, I'll give you my answer. I want to get your answer. It's early. We know that, only a couple weeks into it. But what team has impressed you the most around the country?
Well, that I've seen in person, Seton Hall. I had them right after that Michigan State loss, which, you know, they got some bad calls at the end. They are the longest, largest team I've seen in college basketball. 7'2", Gil 7'2", the other young man, I can't remember his name right now, Odinese, I believe, 7'2". He gets four fouls in the first half. I've never seen a player stay and get four fouls. Well, Kevin Willard takes him out and brings in Gil, he's also 7'2". They had five guys 6'11 or taller, and then they have Miles Powell, who is the guard, the first team All-American. So the teams that I've seen, they look to me like a Sweet 16, possibly an Elite 18, what I saw of Seton Hall. Of course, you got Duke, Kansas, Michigan State. We've seen those teams. But as a team kind of outside that might break through, what I've seen, I think you got to take a good look at Seton Hall.
Real quick, Ohio State, that's a team that has really impressed me early with wins over, I know they got Cincinnati, and then the other one escapes me, Villanova. Villanova, I believe, was the team. But Ohio State's been really good.
Villanova. And that's a good one, Scott, because there's a lot of talk about them in the Big Ten. I listened to Dawkins quite a bit, Dan Dawkins, on his podcast. Of course, his son is a GA at Ohio State, and they're always talking about DJ Carton. They think he might be one and done. Even though he's coming off the bench, they really like what he's doing for Ohio State. And that, we talk about Maryland, the Big Ten, right behind Michigan State. But Ohio State getting a lot of talk right now. Of course, Purdue stumbled in that Gavitt Game Classic. So it's kind of, okay, who's going to be the next tier of teams in the Big Ten after those three we just mentioned, Michigan State, Maryland, and Ohio State?
All right. Have fun in the Virgin Islands, Kevin. We'll talk next Tuesday on a special edition of Off the Glass, brought to you by Chris Lehman.
All right. Well, I hope you guys stay cool up there because it's only 85 here.
Thanks, Kevin.
That was my parting shot, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
Good to talk to you.
Kevin Lehman from the Virgin Islands, and our Off the Glass segment is brought to you by Chris Shooter Lehman at Coldwell Banker Real Estate, and check it out at shootershomes.com. Quick break, come back, and get to Bowling Night in America.
Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday, and everyone's a fan. Even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Back with you to give you the update from last night's Bowling Night in America, brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Mark.
It's going to be a quick one. Rusty Nails on the winning side, 17-13 against Hupp Electric last night. Nice to get back in the winning winning ways, despite my awful night. But
your third game was fine.
It was. At any rate, Ryan Bundy, a perfect game last night. 300 in a 760 series. He was topped by Max Hyatt, though. Great young bowler. 807.
I think it's first eight.
For Max, yes. So we'll be back at it again next week.
Against the Pin Pals next week. Good to see Kevin Flanagan out there bowling. He
indeed.
Had a 279 in the first game.
Yeah.
Our friend, pro at St. Andrews, and also a very, very good bowler. Check it out, MayCityBowlCR.com. Phone number?
362-0136.
Stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They will have the KGYM Road Trip presented by Linder Tire from Mulligan's next.
KGYM.